God bless you. God bless you. I've been in CT for almost 4 years this July. I've known the Lord for about 27 years, and I've served Him for close to 25 years. And Pastor Tim mentioned some of the areas that I serve in, and I want to tell you something. Nothing that I've served in qualifies me or certifies me to be able to share the word here today. The only reason I'm here today is by the absolute grace and mercy of God. And if any way I can bless you today, I want to tell you that He deserves all the honor and all the glory. Amen. So I want to tell you a little bit more about myself. I came to Jesus when I was about 17 years of age. It was my first semester of college. And somebody just gave me a Bible. And the Word of God and me, just, it was love at first sight. And then as I was learning medicine, I was also learning the Word of God. And that heavily influenced the way I saw the Word of God, because I was able to see a lot of correlations with what happens in the physical body and what happens with the spiritual body. And just to give you a little idea, I want to take you to a verse in Deuteronomy 8:2. And I'm reading from NIV. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. To humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. So the Bible here, the setting is that God is speaking to the people of Israel. They've been freed from bondage and slavery in Egypt. And they're on their way to a promised land where everything will be a lot better. But just before that, they had to go to a season, a period, in which their heart would be tested to know what was in their heart. When I saw this for the very first time, I was like, whoa, this is exactly what I do. And I'll explain to you why. You know, heart disease can start as early as your teenage years. And it can gradually progress until it gets worse, until it gets severe, and people may be walking around with heart disease, severe heart disease, and not even know it. Many times, you know, people get a heart attack. So when somebody comes to the hospital with a heart attack, I get called in. Sometimes you may see me in the front row and they have to go running out of the room. It may be because I'm going to see somebody in the hospital who's having a heart attack. Either that or my kids are vandalizing Playhouse. One of the two. And so a lot of times when people get a heart attack, you know, some people kind of expect it, you know, if they were smoking, if they were doing drugs, if they led a bad lifestyle, it doesn't come as a surprise. But sometimes people who are what seems to be healthy, good life, good diet, and then they get a heart attack. And I get this very common question, Doc, how did this happen? How is it possible? There were no signs, there were no symptoms. It's because the heart has a complex system in which it can compensate even for severe heart disease. And people can walk around and not feel anything. So what we do many times is we do something called a stress test. And what we do is we take somebody out of their comfort zone and we put them in a situation in which their heart and their body are put under physical stress. A situation in which we would raise the heart rate, raise the blood pressure, and then we see what happens to the heart, because it's the same way that people can harbor things in their heart and they don't know about it, and they don't know about it in the physical way, it can also happen in the spiritual way. Amen? And I'll give you a quick example of this. You know, unfortunately, it's very common in my world. I remember it was many years ago, I was seeing this young woman who was just recently diagnosed with breast cancer. It wasn't stage 4, it wasn't stage 1, it was somewhere in the middle, and she needed to be operated pretty soon. Imagine how she felt. She had children, she had a family. Imagine her distress, her anxiety, and she just wanted to get this operation soon, get that cancer out of her body. Something happened that during her preoperative workup and test, they found something, and then she comes to me. And this is a part of my job I don't like too much, because a lot of times I meet people on the worst days of their life. You know, and sometimes I'm the bearer of bad news, and I had to tell her, I am so sorry, but you can't get your breast cancer surgery right now. We gotta stop. We gotta do a stress test, figure out what's going on. She gets her stress test, And she failed it horribly. It was very abnormal. And I told her, listen, if you get your breast cancer surgery right now, you're not going to live. Your heart won't tolerate it. In the same way, many of us are waiting for a miracle. We may be waiting for a job, a spouse, a family to have. Maybe you've been waiting to have kids for years and you haven't been able to have kids. You're asking God for something. And instead of seeing your miracle, your petition to be materialized, you may be even going through a hard time. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you, don't worry, just going through a stress test. It may be that your heart is just not ready for what's the good things are to come. Right? So I'm going to invite you guys to pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your promises and everything that you promised us, Lord. We know that you are faithful, and today, Lord, we believe in you, knowing that you are working and operating in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So when we do a stress test, there are many things that we focus on, all right? And you know, I teach residents, I teach medical students, I teach cardiology fellows. I train them in all the different aspects that we look at when somebody's getting a stress test. Please, guys, today, nobody try to do a stress test alone at home, all right? Even though it will be kind of a medical stuff we're talking about, but no, nobody try doing a stress test at home, all right? So there are several things I want to talk to you about what we look at when somebody has a stress test. For example, one important thing is a healthy heart has the ability to rest. See, the heart is a very hard-working organ. It's pure muscle, and it's pumping day in and day out. As hard as it works, it also rests really hard. Half the time, the heart is resting. So it works 50% of the time, it rests 50% of the time. A healthy heart, no matter what amount of stress is under, should have the ability to rest. What we observe is, we call something rate recovery. So we put somebody in the treadmill, we have them walk, eventually run, and we see that heart rate go really high, and we want the heart rate to go high. We actually want it to achieve at least 85% of their maximum heart rate. But as soon as the stress test stops, what we want to see is the heart rate to come down really quickly. When the heart rate does not come down really quickly, it tells us there's something going on. The EKG may look great, the pictures may look great, but if the heart rate doesn't come down quickly, it tells us something is going on. Something is wrong. And I have many applications about this. You know, I remember there was a time in my life where I would close my eyes and fall asleep quickly, and nothing can wake me up. I was growing up in Honduras, and, you know, I was watching TV in my bedroom, and I just fell asleep. My mom went to the supermarket. You know, I think I was somewhere between 10 and 15 years old. She left me alone in the house. You know, that's the thing in Honduras, you can do that, you know. She went to the grocery store. She comes back, and she noticed that she forgot the keys to the house. Fortunately, my bedroom is like close to a window. So she goes to the window, and she yells at me, "Alan, wake up!" And I wouldn't wake up. And then the calling out becomes a yell, and yelling, and yelling, and she just couldn't wake me up. She went to get a water hose, threw water through the window. The room was drenched in water. She couldn't wake me up. So my mom went into Hispanic panic mode, all right? And then in her anxiety, she heard me like I was gagging or dying. My mom went to the backyard, brought an axe or something, and she just tore the door down. She comes in, and she immediately just quickly assessed, okay, he's alive, he's fine. And after that, it wasn't a good day for me. I had no care in the world, complete peace, and nothing can wake me up, nothing. The noise, the water, nothing can wake me up. Now I'm a little different. I get frequently called in the middle of the night, so I'm on lower alert. I wake up really quickly. But I know that there are people who are going through struggles and problems, life, either family, marriage, children, health, and they just can't sleep. And they're anxious and they're frustrated. And that's talking about the spiritual heart, but the physical heart is very similar. Do you know that when people have severe advanced heart disease, many times the way we know it's severe is because they have symptoms at rest and they can't even sleep. Some people with advanced heart failure, they can't lay down because they can't breathe when they're laid down. They wake up in the middle of the night, suffocating, can't breathe. A healthy heart has the ability to rest. One of the things I just love about my job is how every day, many times, patients teach me and actually minister to me. Very recently, either a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago, I was in the office, and there was a 92-year-old woman. She was sent by her doctor so she can discuss with me a procedure that she needed, and she did need that procedure. A really good 92-year-old, she's independent, driving, walking around, everything cognitively intact. And then I was telling her all the horrible things that would happen to her if she didn't get the procedure. At the same time, I explained to her all the horrible things that could happen if I did do the procedure. And that's usually a very tough situation. And no matter what age you are in life, it's hard to take in. And her response amazed me to this day. And her response was something like this. It was like, "Doctor, I'm not sure if you're going to understand this, but I've had a life full of prayer. But when I pray with God, I'm not just repeating words. I have a relationship with Him. And you know what? As much as I love life and I want to live, I'm not afraid of dying." As she was speaking, she was crying. It wasn't out of anxiety. It wasn't out of fear. It wasn't because she was giving up. It was because in that moment, I sensed how the Holy Spirit was filling her and filling the room. It was a woman that, even though she was getting horrible news, she had complete peace. And maybe somebody here today is going through a tough season, and you're getting tough news. You put on the TV, you put on social media, and you hear the worst of things. But even though to the toughest and the hardest time, the Lord wants us to rest. He wants our heart to be rested. The wind might blow, the waves may be tall, but He wants us to rest. He wants us to sleep. Right now, in the physical world, if you guys would measure your heart rate, hopefully, you know, it's between 55 and 90. That means everything is good. Don't check your heart rate right now. Don't check my heart rate. Mine's like 170 right now. People, when your heart rate is low at rest, it means that there's physical fitness. When you're able to rest after a season or during a season of hardship, whether it's economical, family, health, whatever it is, if you're able to rest in the middle of that, it means your heart is healthy in the spiritual sense. God wants us to be rested. God says, whoever's tired, whoever's weary, whoever's carrying burden, come to me, I will take away your burden. I will make you rest. God wants us to rest. No matter how hard it is outside, no matter how hard the situation may be right now, God wants us to be rested. Amen? Amen. Next point I want to talk to you guys about. A healthy heart is full of the Word of God. And, you know, amen. And I'll tell you what the physical implication is. So a lot of times, my students, when I'm on call, my students are the first to see the patient. And sometimes it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and they call me, "Dr. Bell, there's a patient who has a really abnormal test." And then my next question is, "Did you see the patient?" Because a test can be very abnormal, a blood test can be abnormal, an EKG can be abnormal, but the most important thing is, what does the patient say? See, the Bible says that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And I'll tell you that in medicine, have you guys ever been in the ER, in a doctor's office, and they ask you a million questions? And sometimes they ask the same thing over and over again? I promise it's not to torture you. It's because many times, if not most of the time, we can get the exact diagnosis just by the words that are spoken. And many times the EKG can be horrible, but if I'm talking to the patient, no, this is not a heart attack. This is not a heart attack. And the words are so valuable. I can know what's in the heart just by listening to the words. Right? Moms and dads, you want to know the heart of your children? Listen to their words. Listen to what they say. A few months ago, we were on vacation with the family, and my wife got sick, you know? And And she's not here right now, but my wife, she's a super mom, really. She's amazing. She's a super, super woman, super wife, super mom. And she got sick, and mom gets sick, then we're all in trouble. And it was something in her, it was like a stomach flu. And then when she told me that, my first reaction is, okay, hold on. I'm going to get the Pepto, get this, you know, get the medicine. I'm a doctor. That's what I do, you know? That's what I do. When we travel, we have like a little pharmacy we travel with, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's what I did. But my son, Benjamin, when he heard that mom was sick, the very first thing he did is, Mom, let me come pray for you. What you say in the middle of stress or in the middle of a difficult situation tells us how your heart is doing. Mom or dad, listen to the kids. Dad, make sure that when something's difficult in the house, that the words that you speak, the words that your kids are listening, that you're saying, make sure that those words are words full of the Word of God. I want to give you an example of something that happened to me. It's like with real patience. So a few years ago, I'll say like somewhere between 7 to 9 years ago, I did this angiogram on a patient. An angiogram is I put a catheter into the artery in the wrist, I go to the heart, and I look at the inside of the heart. This patient came in with chest pain symptoms. I don't remember if it was in the ER, if it was in the office, I saw him first, but something was going on really bad. And I go in, I look at his arteries, and this is the actual angiogram of this patient. And the arrow is pointing out at a severe blockage in probably the most important artery of the heart, that's called the widowmaker. And then when I saw that blockage, so what I do is I unblock blockages with stents, like a metal mesh opens up a blockage. A blockage is cholesterol, filth, a really bunch of bad cells that just gradually accumulate over time. And then the location of the blockage made it really difficult for a stent. So I had to stop and speak to my competition, the heart surgeon, and tell him, listen, this guy needs open heart surgery. And then the patient got really scared. He got so scared that not only did he refuse open heart surgery, he then refused a stent placement, and he didn't follow up. He went away for months, and I was nervous for him. He wouldn't pick up. He wouldn't come back. When I eventually saw him, and I told him, I called him by his name, so-and-so, how are you doing? He was like, I feel great, but you didn't get your surgery. If you don't want your surgery, you at least need a stent procedure. We got to do this. You can die from this. He was like, doc, you don't understand. You don't understand. I was doing drugs, I was doing this, I was doing that. I gave my life to Jesus, and everything changed for me. Praise the Lord. I was happy for him. I celebrated, I was happy, but I was still nervous because I know what his heart looked like. I was like, bro, okay, listen, it's fine. I'm glad that you're saved. I'm Christian too, but we got to get that done. He's like, doc, no, I feel good. What was hard for me is, you know, we know that if you're not having any heart symptoms, you may have a severe blockage. We don't necessarily have to operate on it. But I knew he had symptoms prior. So my concern was, is it that he's just afraid and he's being stoic because he doesn't want anything? So I followed them up really closely. And every 6 months, every year, he'll come and he would always start to evangelize me, you know, minister to me, tell me about the Lord, how good he was doing. And then the doctor, I went to DR, I was doing this mission trip, and I did this, I did that. I was like, oh, Lord, please don't do that, you know? Just take it easy, bro, take it easy. And then one time, he went to a season in which it was kind of hard. He had a family member that he was taking care of. He was going through a lot of emotional stress, and he was having some symptoms. And I told him, listen, brother, you know, things are getting worse probably. Now you're having symptoms. You weren't having any before. We got to go and take a look again. We go in there again, and I'm there in the it's called a cath lab, in my operation room. I'm looking at his arteries, and after I see the arteries, I can't explain to you how I felt when his arteries were actually better. The words that he was saying, he wasn't faking it until he made it. He believed, he spoke it, and then he lived it. Amen. So, amen, praise the Lord. So I want you to imagine this. I'm in the procedure room. It's full of nurses, technologists. There's a student next to me. And I'm like, whoa. And I couldn't believe it. I go to the control room. I ask my assistant, can you put out the old films? Can you put the new film? And they put them side by side. And are you looking at this? They're like, yeah, it looks better. And they asked me, What did you do? And I was like, I didn't do anything. That's a Jesus thing right there. That's the God that we serve. All the filth that can be in our heart, all the dirty things, he cleans them with his blood. And don't be discouraged if the people that are closest to you that know your past life sometimes may not believe you when you say things. But eventually they'll see it. Eventually it'll become evident. But the words that we speak in the middle of trouble, in the middle of bad situations, that'll tell us how our heart is. And today the Lord wants to change our words. Amen. And it starts with heart surgery. Amen. A healthy heart, next point, a healthy heart is generous. And I want to talk a little bit about that. So the heart, and this is just something that I think, you're not going to find this in a textbook or anywhere else, but I believe that the heart is the most generous organ of the entire body. All right? And that is why sometimes you read in the Bible that when you give, you should give according to your heart. Because the heart and generosity are one-to-one. I'll explain to you why. So the way the heart works is that it receives blood from the entire body, blood that has no oxygen, has no food. And what the heart does is it takes that bad blood, cleans it up, fills it up with oxygen, and then gives it to the entire body. Okay? And then when the heart is working well, it will give more than 50% of the blood that it receives. And when it does not give more than 50% of the blood that it receives, we call it heart failure. Imagine sometimes we have a hard time giving 10%. Praise the Lord. So the heart is a very generous organ. And I'll tell you that the heart knows how to give. For example, the heart leads a system in the body called the cardiovascular system. And what the heart does is it makes sure that the first organ to receive blood is the head. The heart knows authority. And then the heart is very humble because the heart waits for the entire body to eat. So imagine the most insignificant part of your body, the pinky toe or an appendix, whatever you want to think about. And the heart waits for even the smallest, most insignificant part of the body to eat first, and then the heart eats. So the heart's a very generous organ, and generosity and love are correlated. The more you give, the more you love. You would actually see that, you know, the Bible says, so God loved the world so much that he gave his son. All right, so generosity and love are combined. So the heart is a very generous organ. And I'll tell you, I've been the recipient of generosity. I come from Honduras, a very poor country. And in the last years of medical training, I had to go for a few weeks to a village. And I had to give back to the community, a really poor community, and help people in that village. And every time there was a new doctor in that village, we had to go visit a lady who was kind of like a chief in the area. And she was well respected, and every new doctor had to receive the blessing from that lady. If she didn't like you, nobody's gonna come to see you. And so I had two people under me. I had seniority because I was ahead of them 6 months. And then, okay guys, we have to go visit that lady. So it was a mountain, we had to hike, all right? It was like a 3-hour hike. Went to see this lady, and as we were entering the house, there's a little girl with a knife, and it was a big knife, and she was, I'm sorry guys, I'm gonna gross you out, but she was cleaning her nails with a knife. Yeah, it's kind of yucky and unsafe. And she was there with as soon as I see that, like, my eyes on that knife, and I'm looking at that little girl playing with that knife, and then the lady who invited us, who were visiting, told us, oh guys, we're gonna treat you some food. And so what this lady did was, so she lived on bread that she made. So she supported a big family. She had no husband and a bunch of kids. So she baked bread, and that bread, she sold it, and that's how she lived. And she was very poor. So that day, instead of selling the bread, she was going to give me bread to eat. This is a very poor house. The floor was, there was no cement. It was just dirt on it. And then she's about to serve the bread, and she comes, she grabs a knife from the little kid. And then in the past life, guys, I was a germaphobe, all right? After that day, I was no longer a germaphobe. And then she grabs the knife, and I did tell the lady, oh, I think the knife is dirty. Oh, no worry, doc, it's okay. She just cleans it on her skirt, which was, the skirt was probably dirtier, right? And she cuts the pieces of bread. And then the two guys were with me, you know, one of them was from Chile, the other one from another country. They look at me and like, we're not gonna eat that. I'm like, dude, you're gonna eat that and you're gonna like it. Because she, out of her poverty, what she didn't have, she was stopping to eat to give us food. So we come in and I'm not gonna lie, I just swallowed it. I didn't even try to taste it. And then she goes, oh, you liked it. Here, have some more. And this is me, a man with so many faults and so many, you know, things wrong with me. But I was so moved by her generosity that nothing that she can give me could be dirty or bad. I just receive it. And that's the same way that God receives our hearts. There can be filth, there can be many bad things, but when we give him our hearts the way it is right now, he just receives it. Amen. And he loves it. And more than that, he changes it. I want to go back to the generosity part, and maybe you can play the videos. Yeah, so this is a picture or video of a normal functioning heart. This is a heart ultrasound. The heart is pumping, and every time it pumps, it's pumping that blood out of the heart, right? The next video, I'm going to show you a video of how it looks when a heart has heart failure. Every time this heart contracts, it's only pumping 10% of the blood outside. Now, this has a lot of clinical implications. I'll tell you why. If we go to the next slide where we can see these videos slide by slide. So let's say I have this patient here with this heart that's not working well, and let's say I'm doing an operation on that heart, and things get dicey and difficult, and the blood pressure drops, and things are bad, and I have to do something. To this heart, I can't help this heart that much. I can't give him a blood transfusion. I can't give him blood or fluids, because if I do that, it would actually make things worse. But if I'm doing an operation on the other heart, where that heart is being generous, it's pumping, and it's giving it all out. And the nurses ask me, Doc, what do I do? Give him fluids. How much? My response, wide open. Give him everything we have. Just give him all that heart needs. The same thing happens in our spiritual world. When we manage to be generous, even though in the hardest times, the angels ask God, how much should we give them? Give them everything they need. Open up the gates. Just let it flood. Give them all the blessings they need. That heart is a generous heart. Unfortunately, when we're not generous, when we're going through a hard time, the opposite may happen. And maybe we're waiting for that job. Maybe we're waiting for that promotion. Maybe we're waiting for that spouse. Maybe we're waiting for that next thing in our life. But our heart just can't take it in that moment. I want to, every time I show videos, these are actually, they're patients of mine, all right? And when I see the video, I remember the patients. You know, I may not remember their names, but I know who they are just based on the image I'm looking at. So this heart right here, I met this person many years ago, and this poor guy, like, you know, it was kind of like a Job-like experience for him. He's an Uber driver, and all of a sudden he has a stroke. So there was a part of his body that he couldn't move. He was brought to the ER, and then every bit of information he was getting was just terrible news. Yeah, you had a stroke, dude, but you know what? Your heart's also very weak. And you know what? You have a big clot in your heart. That's why you have the stroke. Then he comes to me, and then I have to figure out why his heart's so weak and why is this all happening. And what I found out is that all the arteries of his heart have severe blockages. Severe blockages. So many that I cannot open them up with stents. I had to send him to open heart surgery. He gets to open heart surgery. We give him all the medications available to science to help his heart. And many times, if the heart is not scarred enough, heart function can recover and can become normal. But after everything we did, surgery, medications, years pass, and this patient's heart did not get better. And I'll tell you, I root for all my patients. I cheer for them. I want them to get better. But there are some patients that, you know, like if I would have met this guy outside of in a different setting, he would have been my friend. The nicest guy ever. And I felt so bad for him that years and years, his heart didn't get better. Because what happens is, when your heart is completely scarred, cell muscles that have died cannot regenerate. They cannot come back to life again. So once a heart muscle dies, it can't come back. And I knew that because of that problem, his life would be less. I knew that he would not be able to live too long. I didn't know how long, but I know that something, it will not be too good for him. And one time I remember, you know, come see him in the office. And before I go in to see him, I open up his last heart ultrasound. I open up just the report, the writings. And then it says, heart function normal. And I'm like, this has to be a mistake. I actually got a little bit upset. They made a mistake. Because I know what this guy's heart looks like. And again, don't be discouraged. I know today God is changing hearts and people may not believe it. And sometimes the people that may not believe it are the people closest to you, but don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. So I come and I open up the video and then I see this heart right here. When you look at them side by side, this is 9 years apart, a completely different heart. I have the screen, I put the images side by side. Again, I call the people around me, I call the nurses, I call the students. Guys, you see this? They're like, yeah, it's a completely different heart. What did you do? I didn't do anything. That's a Jesus thing right there. That's what he does. That's what he does. There are times that hearts can be scarred, not just physically. They can be scarred because abuse, trauma, hurt. Somebody maybe has lied to you. Somebody really close to you maybe did something horrible to you. There's many reasons why a heart can be scarred. And sometimes we have a hard time surrendering our hearts because of that. And even though it's good, therapy doesn't sometimes help. Please go to your therapist if somebody has a therapist. The medications, please take the medications. But many times, that is just not enough. It just helps you, you know, feel a little bit better, but doesn't heal or change anything. But God can change your heart. When I was 17 years old and I received Jesus in my heart, not physically, but spiritually, my heart kind of looked like that. There was vanity, there was arrogance, there was selfishness. I was in a really, really, really bad spot. And then I invited Jesus to my heart, and then my heart, he changed it. It's still a work in process. There's many things I have to change. But, amen, praise the Lord. I believe that there are people today that may be going through a difficult season, a hardship, and I believe that it may just be a stress test. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to give you something big and great because his plans are to bless us. And right now, you're just going through a stress test. So in a little bit, I'm going to make an altar call. See, I believe that the altar is God's operation room. See, when people come to my operation room, there's two ways of getting there. It can be elective or emergent. And they both work, but the emergent is a little bit more stressful. You know, it's unplanned, it's more prone to complications, it's riskier. When it's elective, it's cleaner, nicer, planned. And God can do anything anywhere. He can change you on the way back home, he can change you tomorrow. But the altar is where his elective surgery occurs. And it's where he changes heart. So a little bit, I'm going to ask you guys to stand. And I'm going to ask anybody to just sit by your seat. This is the place where God transforms your heart. If maybe you're going through a situation in which you haven't been able to sleep. Maybe you've had financial problems, not able to pay for a bill. How are you going to do this? Maybe you're thinking about a child who has not come back home. Maybe you're thinking about a relative that you're asking the Lord to save that person. I remember last week, the previous prayer meeting, I had a prayer card, And it just moved my heart because it was a dad. And he was praying for his daughter. His daughter has lymphoblastic leukemia. It's a type of blood cancer. And this poor guy is telling me about his daughter. And at the same time, he was in the card, he was saying that his wife has a problem with alcoholism. And he wrote in this card that it was just tearing his family apart. And I don't know if he's listening or he's here, but I'm just like, brother, this is just a stress test. Amen. All right? You know, if you might have received the worst news. You know, let's say somebody heard stage 4 cancer, you know, and maybe they told you, somebody told you that the cancer is not operable. And I'll tell you, I say this a lot, I'll keep on saying this, if a cancer may not be operable, but what the surgical blade can't remove, the word of God will remove. Maybe they told you that you're not a candidate for chemotherapy. And I'll say this over and over again, if what chemotherapy can't remove, the blood of Christ can wash. Maybe they told you that you're not a candidate for radiation, and what radiation can't burn, the Holy Spirit will burn.